Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast with me, Ian Welsh. I'm in Detroit at Innovation Forum's How Business Can Measure the Impact and Return on Investment of Corporate Sustainability event that we've co-hosted here with the Urban Institute from the University of Michigan. Delighted to be joined in the podcast by Eric Hispenhide, Chairman of the Global Reporting Initiative. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, we just had a session in the conference when we've been thinking about using the SDGs and other methods, GRI, et cetera, to communicate impact effectively through reporting. Can you set the scene for us a bit in terms of what are the trends you're seeing and how best practice reporting is developing?
Sure. And first of all, thank you for the event. It was a great event. I think we're at an interesting juncture because there are companies that have understood for some time that having transparency around what they're doing and their impacts on the environment and on society, people. I think what we have now, and particularly with the advent of the SDGs, is we can expand that universe and expand the number of companies that are thinking in those terms and using a globally agreed to sort of language. If you think of the SDGs and the goals and the targets as being a way of articulating those impacts, plays very nicely into GRI's message, which is we're really interested in an organization's impact on the world. While we are concerned and are interested in how the world is impacting the company, what happens is if you don't think about it more broadly and beyond the borders of a reporting organization's legal boundaries, you miss some of the issues that are occurring in the world. And so I think where reporting is going and the importance of the reporting is it's allowing companies to illuminate what those impacts are, and being able to then bring it back inside the organization and hopefully make better informed decisions as a result of better understanding the impacts they're having. Now, whether or not that has a financially material impact on the company, it may, in which case, you know, it needs to be taken up in the traditional reporting, but it's likely that it may not. But this is an opportunity for the company to share and articulate what their contributions to sustainable goals are really about and have a language to do that.
Sure. So how can companies then link reporting using GRI and using the SDGs to better performance?
You know, it really starts with what I was saying before of really a company gaining an understanding of what are the impacts that they're having. So it's kind of doing a self-reflection based on interaction with a wide variety and diverse set of stakeholders that all organizations have to better understand where they should be focusing their efforts and what are the kinds of impacts they are having, which they can then take back inside the company and inform their strategy, hopefully better fine-tune, whether it's from their customer standpoint or their geography footprint that they're doing or their environmental footprint. And take those on board and then tailor their business model, if necessary, and certainly their business practices to emphasize the positive aspects. And then, of course, we're all interested in minimizing the negative impacts using a frame of the GRI reporting and how you can think about that in relation to what we're trying to achieve as a society, as reflected in the SDGs. I think it can form a great blueprint and perhaps even a roadmap, you know, for how companies can think about their sustainability journey.
What trends are you seeing then in terms of how companies can best communicate these things? I mean, there's been a long time people saying, you know, reports are too long, no one ever reads them. How do companies report in a way that is engaging and actually gets the people that they want to read the report to read it?
Yeah, being a financial accountant and not a communicator or marketer, I'm probably the wrong person to ask that. The good news, though, is that, you know, one of the things that we're striving to do from a GRI standpoint is to be very clear and have metrics and reporting standards that are very well-defined, you know, so that the debate isn't around interpretation of what we mean by a particular disclosure. The communication is, you know, how does the company internalize that? How is it part of their management to address those issues that they have? And then turn that into, you know, we see a lot about storytelling, which is great and as can be effective way of communicating. I think the other thing that we find is that companies oftentimes have a one size fits all approach to their reporting communications. The reality is that using the same information as building blocks, if you will, and perhaps hopefully with the GRI standards as building those blocks, a company can intersperse those blocks or build different stories based on what they're doing. So if I'm talking to shareholders, then generally what will be important to them are, you know, what are the financial consequences of looking forward in terms of how you're impacting the environment and people and so on. If you're talking to NGOs or you're talking to civil society, then you can use those communication tools, those building blocks, to have that communication. That's why I think we've ended up with some of these, and it's not in the GRI standard anywhere, that you'd have a 400-page report. I think that's part of the challenge that we've had, is that it is viewed as, gee, we have all these stakeholders, we'll write a report that tries to address them all. And I think we need to step back from that and say, well, what are the fundamental things that we're reporting on? What are we being transparent about? And then tailoring a shortened communication, if you will, to those audiences so that they can understand. Same information, so there's no doubt that we're not trying to hide anything here or color it inappropriately, but we're tailoring it for the manner of communication, the things that are important to that stakeholder group, using the same base of information.
Obviously, we want companies to report on what's material. And the material issues may not be necessarily all good, but it might be all not good use. What are the kind of incentives and drivers around transparency in reporting that work and really help companies see the benefits of, in fact, having a warts and all approach?
Yeah. So that's two sides of a coin. You can have things that are of a positive nature that would drive one to say, this is a good thing for me to be more transparent. Or you can flip the coin and say, you know, there are some negative things that would drive a company to be more forthcoming, if you will, more transparent about those things, particularly that aren't working. We're neutral. We're just trying to say, you know, if it's a material issue for you in terms of your impact on the world, then you should report on it. The reality is, what are the motivations? There are those companies, and we heard some today, you know, that got to reporting because a shareholder demanded it and got enough votes from other shareholders to make it clear they needed to do it. The good news from that story is that while they were, I'll say, forced into it, they embraced it and are now getting benefit from it. And so that's the positive side of it, is if companies truly are trying to sustain themselves, they need to pay attention to what's happening in the world, in the mega trends and the micro trends in their customer base. And one of the ways you do that is you engage with stakeholders and you engage with the communities that you operate in or the customers that you have and the NGOs that are asking you questions. And you can help to frame and develop and improve on your strategy and business model by doing that. And that is in itself a virtuous cycle in terms of how one then internalizes those benefits, if you will, in an understanding. We are still all challenged by reporting, quote unquote, bad news. I had this goal, I didn't meet it. How do I talk about that? One of the things that I think has continued to be valued, whether it's investors or NGOs or civil society generally, or even governments, is that if you can demonstrate that you've made a good faith effort to achieve the goal or to achieve the objective that you set out and then failed at, as long as you're clear about it and can articulate credible reasons for why you didn't get there, other than I didn't have time, then I think, you know, that can help further the trustworthiness and the credibility that organizations need to have in order to operate in today's world.
What's the future then? You yourself mentioned, and if I give a list of all the different reporting standards and frameworks and everything else that there are, there's you guys, there's a CDP, there's SASB, blah, blah, blah.
There's an alphabet soup of this.
Yes, there's a lot of them. Is the future more collaboration between you guys, making it more simple for people? Because people are pushing reporting, there's an awful lot of options out there. So are you going to work together more, do you think, in the future? Or what is the future going to look like?
So I guess two answers to that is, one, we are already collaborating amongst at least some of us. It's hard to pull everybody into the same room, but we have what is termed the corporate reporting dialogue. So there's eight of the global standard setters that are sitting around the table having this conversation about how do we better articulate why we exist individually, but also more importantly, what can we do to drive better collaboration, alignment, understanding of the interactions and interplay that we can have? And so that dialogue continues. I think the challenge that will continue to confront us is that the issues of 10 years ago or 5 years ago or last year have been superseded by the issues of today, tomorrow, next year. And so it is an ever-changing environment as to what are we trying to report on and for what reason and to whom. And so at least from a GRI standpoint, that was one of our big motivations to go to a Global Sustainability Standards Board so that we have this interrelated, interactive, if you will, set of standards that can evolve and keep up. Because I think if we try to freeze in time and just say, okay, SASB, GRI, CRD, CDP, IRC, you know, let's sort it out today. The problem is today won't last very long. And so then we're left with the next group that wants to chime in on their issue or their way of trying to get companies to articulate their deforestation strategy or their biodiversity strategy. which could result in new standards on those individual issues. And so what I think we need to do is continue to keep an eye on what are the emerging ones, how do we integrate that into an existing reporting framework, as opposed to just adding to it and creating arguably a proliferation of conflicting or confusing and certainly burdensome reporting.
I'm certainly appreciative of the work of the GSSB, but thank you very much for outlining where GRI and other reporting is going. Eric Hesmanhide, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.